Welcome to A Girl's Eye View, where women share their personal experiences navigating the world of flight training and beyond. We're offering a fresh perspective on aviation with plenty of laughs, real talk, and the occasional, I can't believe I did that moment. Tune in for a fun, honest look at aviation from our point of view. I'm your host, Pam, with my co-hosts Rachel and Jen. Now, let's look at things from a girl's eye view.
Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 4 of A Girl's Eye View. We're actually going to take a little miniature detour. We're going to start a segment that we'll introduce at the beginning of our episode, and it's called Flight Deck Feedback. We want to shout out some of the people who have been giving us comments on our podcast thus far. The comments that I'm reading today are from Spotify. If you guys are giving us feedback or leaving comments on another podcast platform, we're going to look at those too. But we just want to acknowledge that we do have some really nice feedback from our discovery episode. Taya wrote in and she said, "Now I will think about bathrooms each time I plan for cross country. Haha. Look forward for more episodes." Jen, that was, I think, a nice point you brought out.
Yes, definitely. Thinking about how, as a woman during COVID, there wasn't bathrooms available at all the FBOs, and we plugged the Shiwi. So hopefully someone thinks about that product and maybe invests. Won't be me, but.
And then Ashley, she wrote in, she said, "So here for this." And we just love that energy. It's so great to have people excited about it. Holly said, "Never crossed my mind about the bathroom situation." So another person who, you know, you may or may not be an aviation enthusiast. And so maybe we're making points that you haven't thought about before. And then the last comment we have on our discovery episode is from Elena, who said, "Can't wait for more episodes, ladies," with a smiley face. So we really appreciate that encouragement and support. It's really nice. On episode 1, part 1, we had two really nice comments. One from Holly again. She said, "What a story from 2 of the 3. Can't wait to hear why Pam wanted to fly." So we left kind of a cliffhanger, I guess, but
yeah, we did.
We always say how
we got chatty.
Yeah, we get chatty. We have so much to say, and we didn't want you guys to, you know, we want to, you know, have a manageable podcast episode time-wise. So also, Monica wrote in and she loved Rachel's origin story and talked about your heartfelt connection with your dad. Very beautiful and raw, which it really was. And if you had only seen it in person, it was so raw.
This one kind of made me tear up a little again. But to be fair, I listened to that episode and cried, so I'm just a mess.
Well, it's so meaningful. And to have somebody else feel touched by it was really nice. She talks about the determination and strength it takes to be a woman in aviation. And she used the word inspiring.
Ooh. Yeah.
So we really hope that you guys do feel inspired when you're listening, no matter what point you are in your aviation journey. Or if you're not an aviator yet, maybe you're still inspired to do something new. And then on part 2, I know who this is. This is someone from my secular job. And she said, "Yes, you ate." So I wanna give a shout out to one of my 5th grade classes. They have been extremely supportive of the podcast. Very interested. They've been downloading. They've been commenting.
I love that.
Yep. I even have a student who has designed a logo for our podcast.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Very talented artist. And all the students in that class are, like I said, so supportive. And I
have our own little cheerleaders.
They're pretty amazing. This group. I love it. So,
I love it.
Yeah. If I could say names and post pictures, I would. But you know how it is with kids who are under 18. So hopefully you'll see them maybe flying around in the future.
That would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Be awesome. So why don't we get started? Episode 4 is about Mrs. or Mr. Right seat. So what do we mean when we say the right seat? What are we talking about?
So your instructor, you will sit in the left seat of the airplane. That is the pilot seat. And your instructor will sit in the right seat. So that's just being funny.
It is mean, honey.
Oh,
It's very Pinteresting. So you want to choose the right person. And we use the word choose very deliberately because you can choose who your CFI or your certified flight instructor is. So when we say CFI, we mean your flight instructor. We use those terms interchangeably. And whether it's a woman or a man, you want to really feel like you're empowered to choose the right person to fly with you. Why do you think it's important that you make a choice about that person and why it's not just someone that you're assigned and you stick with?
So, speaking from personal experience on this, I trained at a Part 61 school, so I very much was able to choose my own CFI. I have heard that it's not quite the case, especially at universities and some of the big 141 schools. You get assigned someone, and changing can actually be really tough and detrimental to your flight plan. But I have had three CFIs. Two of them did go to the airline, so it wasn't necessarily my choice that we changed. But when we changed to the new one, I did get to pick. And I felt like it was really empowering for me to choose because I was the one spending the money. I had to make sure they were someone I vibed with and like we could communicate effectively and efficiently. I didn't want, like, obviously, I understood that they were probably with a student before me, so I might not get a response back, but I wasn't waiting like 4 days to hear back from them about a flight coming up or what I should have planned and that kind of stuff.
Good point. How would you describe, in general terms, what is the role of a flight instructor?
I think from a legal perspective, the job of a flight instructor is to teach you up to the standards of the ACS,
Certification
the
standards.
Airman Certification Standards, as well as teaching you the FARs and really make you familiar with what the FAA is expecting of a pilot because it is a privilege to have this license. And I think on kind of like a more personal level, it also really teaches you, your flight instructor should be kind of a mentor and also like showing you how to interact with the general aviation community and showing you kind of how to get on the right foot and maintain the planes in a way that's going to make you a favorite student, hopefully, of the flight school and not one that they're like, oh, Jen's back again this week, you know?
Be fair, I maintain the planes and pretty sure that was still the reaction when I showed up. So,
Oh, here she is. Right.
oh, great.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too. I was reading the airplane flying handbook, and I don't know if I have the most
Casually.
just casually, a little light beach reading in the winter. But this stuck in my mind. That's why I'm pulling it out. In the first chapter, it says, learners consider their flight instructor to be a paragon of flying proficiency whose flying habits they consciously or unconsciously attempt to imitate. That really struck me. So,
Oh, I got thoughts on that.
so what are your thoughts, Rachel, on that?
One, the, and this is not a standard by any stretch, but there are a lot of lower time flight instructors, right? And that's not a dig by any stretch. Everyone is new at one point, everyone starts somewhere. But how they were taught is how usually they're going to teach. And that's not always great. So there might be instances where it's like, oh, also, never mind their training, which could be great, but their personal minimums are significantly different than your personal minimums. They've been flying forever. They can handle more of a crosswind on a landing than you can as a student. So it becomes a do as I say, not as I do situation. You have to be able to either, if you're an instructor, teach to someone who does not have the same standards as you because they're brand new and they've never done this before. But also, as a student, you have to be able to say, whoa, I, not for me. Not in like a, I'm not going to fly, but like, you know, that's beyond my abilities. And that's sometimes that's a little bit harder to do. But also, like, some of these people are kids. And again, not a dig, but that's a lot of pressure to put on a kid who just finished at some aviation program. And now has to already start to teach you all this stuff. That's kind of a lot. That wording is very heavy wording.
It is. When I read that and I think about what really is a flight instructor, Jen also touched on it. There's the old adage, do as I say, not as I do.
And a flight instructor, if they really take their job seriously, they need to be aware of the fact that the way they are, the way they handle the airplane, the way they handle their passengers or the person next to them in the left seat, the way they handle air traffic control, when they're not explicitly teaching, they are still being observed. Because I say this to my friends all the time who are not in aviation. I'm like, you don't understand the feeling of being with an instructor who literally saves your life every flight lesson until you know what you're doing. Because you have to test your limits and test your abilities and see what you can do and what you're capable of. And you might really screw up. And they are there to make sure that you do it right and that you don't both die. So whatever they're doing, you're almost like trauma bonded. And so
You're in a real small space for a long period of time, almost dying. You're absolutely trauma bonded.
yes, you are. And so when I watch an instructor who's with me, and Jen, we've had the opportunity to fly together. I was able to watch you only one time, though. You do pick up on things very unconsciously. And so I noticed that my instructor, who I've been fortunate enough to have for almost my entire flying career up until this point, cool as a cucumber all the time, never ruffled feathers or never showed it. Super calm. And so I felt really confident, even though I wasn't able to maybe imitate him perfectly. But I loved that example because he was so not quick to react. He was
Quick to
his
react, but
flying
not
habits. Yeah,
brain.
his not his emotions, right, I guess would say. His emotions were not quick, very calm and very observant. And so that was something I benefited from. He wasn't somebody who like flew off the handle or had a meltdown or anything like that. So that's maybe an unconscious example of a flying habit.
I think with that wild sentence from the airplane flying handbook, is that what that's from?
Yeah.
I see where they want to go because you do want to have an instructor where you feel comfortable and you can say, okay, this human is going to save me if I make a huge mistake, but also realize that you are in an environment where you are supposed to be learning. And so there's a lot more to it than just emulating exactly what you're seeing, I guess. So it seems, I don't know, like a lot of things the FAA publishes, they just put a lot of words in there.
Yeah, certainly wordy. It goes on in this chapter to say that the ultimate goal is to teach like the total pilot. So my instructor always used to say things like he would constantly ask questions. They all did, actually, every CFI I've interacted with. Instead of answering a question, they would answer the
Redirect,
question, which
make my eyes
drives me.
glitch.
If you're listening, you know who you are. You both drive me completely insane. But it's because they would always say, we're trying to teach you to be PIC, which is pilot in command. We're trying to teach you how to make decisions. And so that was an example to me of how to teach the total pilot and not just teach maneuvers, not just teach theory, weather, concepts.
I'd agree. I know it kind of makes it sound like I don't have any faith in any of the new flight instructors, but that's definitely not the case. It's just this, you don't know. This is very much a field where you don't know what you don't know until it slaps you in the face, literally or figuratively. If you're starting to get into it and you're trying to pick a CFI, trying to be like, okay, well, this person who I'm supposed to emulate and do exactly what they're doing, if you don't know if they're doing something wrong, whether they do it on purpose or subconsciously, you don't know, and that can get you in trouble down the line. So that's really where my hesitancy and my disdain for that sentence comes from, just to clarify.
Right. Well, I think you're just saying it's so important who you choose. So
It really
important.
is. It really is. And you had your instructor the whole time. Jen got to pick. I picked my first instructor, and he did my discovery flight. He was great. He was super patient and probably wanted to kill me on more than one occasion because I probably tried to kill him on more than one occasion. And it was a relatively good fit. I ended up leaving that flight school because I had moved to Atlanta, and I was paired with my second instructor because I was only flying weekends, he's only available weekends. So the flight school owner was like, "Oh, perfect. Done." And honestly, my instructor may disagree, but I think it was a great fit because I think he had more faith in my abilities than I did, especially towards the end as I was finishing. And like, he literally told me that like he was tired of flying with me and I needed to solo because he knew that I could do it, but I had to kind of overcome that mental hurdle. And like, that's the kind of support that you want. I don't know that I wouldn't have necessarily picked that particular flight instructor, but I appreciate that somebody had the foresight to be like, hey, this seems like a good, even if it's just for scheduling, this seems like a good match.
Right. Along those lines, what would you say, what would both of you say are things that would make a good flight instructor or maybe something that would not make a good flight instructor?
When you first start, and we've said it countless times, and I think I've said it at least twice this episode so far, you don't know what you don't know when you first start. You don't really have a gauge to determine who might be a good fit, who might be a bad fit, you know, whether they're doing you a disservice or if it's just like a personality clash, or maybe their teaching style doesn't match your learning style, whatever the case may be. Being able and comfortable to ask questions, even if you think it's a dumb question, you are brand new to this. You're allowed to ask dumb questions, and you shouldn't be in an environment where your instructor makes it feel like you're an idiot because you're asking these questions. And I know we touched on it last time, but asking for hours, like where they are in their journey, definitely, because while it is beneficial to fly with other instructors, making that switch or trying to fly with somebody too early could set you back more than it could help. So just being aware of that, I think, would be really big. And then the other one is just you're gonna make mistakes. It's gonna happen. And you're gonna do those things where, like, for the next week, you just lay awake at night and go, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. Oh my God, I can't believe I did that. So being comfortable enough with this person who you will sit literally shoulder to shoulder with in a tiny little airplane to know that you can make the mistake and that it's not going to be this huge debacle is such a good thing. And you'll find that out pretty early. That's like a first couple lessons where you might do something where, again, it's new, so you're going to, because you're learning, have to deal with that kind of a struggle. So.
To add on to what Rachel said, I think when you're getting this criticism or instruction back, it needs to be someone that's giving you constructive criticism and not belittling you, because it's like drinking from a fire hose. This is all new to you.
It
This
really
is
is.
not something that driving really doesn't feel the same. So if they're just belittling you and making you feel not great about yourself because of your flying, that's really not someone I feel like you should continue to learn from. This should be a good experience. It's going to have its hard days, but overall, it should be fun. You shouldn't
Yes.
hate
Oh,
your training, and
there's
going
going to
back to
be
the
rough
airport
lessons. Yeah.
shouldn't be a drag for you.
Yeah. I also think, too, and this is going to be something that you're going to notice a little later, and it's something that we've talked about, like the three of us, but there's a difference between being taught how to fly and being taught how to be a pilot. Pam sort of touched on it a little. I don't want to say that anybody can fly a plane, but like, and there, this is really hard to figure out sometimes because you don't know what you don't know, as we've said. That's going to be the motto for this episode. But there are instructors out there who are literally just in it. They're flight instructors because it's the easiest path to 1,500 hours, or they're 1,000 if they have a restricted ATP to get to the airline, which is why it's important to ask about hours and that kind of stuff when you're kind of shopping around. But there are other people who are out there, and my instructor was one of them, that he has a job that he works during the week and he only teaches on weekends because he likes it. And there's such a difference with being with somebody who's there because they genuinely enjoy it, as opposed to somebody who's there just to get the hours in. And again, you might not pick up on that right away, but it is also a thing to watch out for.
I think something you said too, Rachel, about being comfortable, I kind of wanted to add on to that. We all met through the Lady Aviators group, and I'm sure you've both seen the stories, some of the horror stories about people's instructors. I think being comfortable goes on a different level, as this person shouldn't be making you like crawl in your skin. They shouldn't be making any like unwanted commentary about you, your body. And I think that's something you will pick up on very quick.
Oh, yeah,
But
definitely.
as a woman in this space, this is a not generalization kind of thing, but like there are people who will degrade you for being a woman wanting to fly, and you should not be made to feel bad about this choice that you've made to do something really cool. Knowing yourself and how much you can kind of stand, and also you shouldn't have to take that. But you will run into those people. I've been very fortunate that none of my flight instructors have ever been like that. It's been
some other like old geezers at the airport that have kind of said some kind of off color things that I'm like, I don't think it's the 1950s
Right.
anymore.
Like, my guy, it's 2023. What are you doing? 2023.
So
Answer ear.
being comfortable, they should never make you want to crawl out of your skin from something they're saying about you is like a huge thing that I
Yeah.
feel like people put up with too much.
That's a very good point too. Like, you shouldn't want to land the plane and immediately take a shower. There should be, it is should be a safe space too, because of one, it just that is your right as a human being to have a safe space. But also, this is dangerous. It's safe, but it's dangerous. And if you have somebody that you can't trust on a basic level, there's no way that you want to get in an airplane with one of those people because there's nowhere to go. That's it.
Jen, you had said something that I would like to continue talking about, which is the mentorship piece of an instructor.
So I definitely found a lot of mentorship from my second instructor, who was the only female instructor I've had, but we were together for probably about a year-ish. And I found her to be so extremely helpful with just navigating conversations at the airport with like where women are really a growing number in the community. There are still some things that you'll see, and she would be like, hey, like just you know, like he is like this, or the person that we'll see in this airplane might be a little old school in some of the things. And it was, she's like, it's not necessarily something we're going to change, but I feel like her mentorship on that part of it just kind of giving me a heads up. And also, she showed me how to be a professional.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to a different podcast today about being professional in this industry doesn't mean you are flying for money. It means you are being a professional on the radio, you're a pilot in command. So like you are interacting with everyone else as like a good citizen. So I feel
That's
like
a
I
good
learned
point.
a lot of that from her.
Yeah, that's a good point that stuff is kind of ancillary that you don't necessarily think about in terms of being a professional, but you interact with so many people when you're in the air that like you have to. And it's such a weird thing to navigate. Like, and we have a whole thing planned about like plain English is so different than like just calling your friend and saying, like, hey, I'm on the way. There's like a protocol to everything, and it's very helpful to have somebody navigate that for sure.
Also, they're going to remember your tail number.
Oh, yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Be courteous.
Yeah.
And Jen, when you talk about mentorship, it aligns really well with what we've been saying. As an educator in public school, I look at my flight training in a very specific way. When you use the word instructor, CFI, your flight instructor, you're not just walking into a classroom and having a teacher stand in front of you and teach you this lesson, and here's a diagram, and this is what we're going to do. You might have some great activities, but the thought of a mentor is a lot different than just a teacher, just an instructor. They teach you certain skills, like how to interact with other people. They might be more current in their training than, the longtime veteran who was in the military for 18 years or whatever. And the people who, oh, I've flown for years and this is how they can act as an intermediary, or they can tell you, hey, if you want to get a plane last minute, don't talk to that dispatcher, talk to that one. Or maybe something that you said made me think about this. If they're your instructor, and maybe there are people at your flight school who are talking crap about you for being a woman or for just, I don't know, doing something stupid, which we all do. You want your instructor to be in your corner and
Definitely.
to protect you. And not just because you're a woman, but certainly if the issue of you being a woman is coming up, you definitely want to feel like your instructor is somebody that you trust and that you can turn to if you're like, what am I, anything in your training. And that includes interpersonal relationships,
Definitely.
how to respond to air traffic control. It's not just the book knowledge that they're teaching you. They're teaching you a lot more than that in this industry.
It's true. And a mark of a good instructor is somebody that you would like keep in touch with, right? So like I have a lot of friends now who are flying for airlines and they still are in contact with their private pilot instructors. And I think that says a lot too, because we joke, but like there is a little bit of trauma bonding that happens, sure. But also like this is somebody that at the end of the day you've spent upwards of 50, 60, maybe 70 hours with. So, I mean, you might not necessarily be best friends, but it's somebody that as you work through aviation that you definitely, in theory, might want to keep in touch with. And they are a good asset, even if you're no longer a student with them.
And Rachel, you had talked a little bit about the safety piece of the training. You touched on something, and I have seen that in 2016, AOPA or AOPA, I call it AOPA, I don't know what you guys call
Everybody,
it.
yeah.
Okay, AOPA, they did a little study or they did a report that said students who received consistent feedback on safety from their CFIs had a 24% higher chance of passing their check ride on the first attempt. So that consistent feedback is not just criticism, it's constructive, Jen, which I think you also talked about. But you need to be able to communicate with your CFI. If they're somebody who's stubborn and pigheaded, or they know everything, you know nothing, or you can't ask questions, or they're a know-it-all, or they just won't respond to you. I've heard of instructors who just won't respond to
Yeah,
their
I had when I
students.
was shopping around in Atlanta for a flight school or the Atlanta area for a flight school. I reached out to one and I got a lesson kind of set up, weather was kind of crappy. So we kind of rescheduled. And the whole process just irritated me to no end because it was behind the gate. So you needed the code, but they weren't giving students, like new students, the code. So I had to wait for the flight instructor who was late for every lesson. We had two. That just soured me on the whole thing. And then eventually he reached out and he was like, hey, so I have some open like availability during the week. After I told him repeatedly, I work during the week, I work in Atlanta, I'd have to drive almost an hour out of the city. It was just terrible communication. And then I went to basically the other side of Atlanta to where I ended up going to for a flight school. And it was night and day. The owner was there, shook my hand. Office was bright and lit up. It wasn't like dark and empty. It was way better of an experience. And then to stick me with my instructor who saw things, I guess. But
We love him on your behalf.
yeah, I'm sure he's like, oh my God, I can't get rid of her. She's not even here and she's talking about me. Sometimes it might take you a minute and you might not realize, and it might be back and forth because the instructor's not getting back to you. And there could be legitimate reasons, whether it could be mechanical. Communication is key, but sometimes it is just going to be, oh, wow, okay, this makes sense. And it is going to be that simple, but you know, feel free to shop around for sure,
Yeah,
much
you
like you
can.
would have with your flight school.
You want to hear your instructor say things like, according to the ACS standards, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
According to the FAA, this. You want to hear your instructor quoting these sources and giving legitimacy or an evidence-based resource for the things that they're saying and how they're teaching you. If your instructor is never referencing those things or helping you look those things up, I think it's really important for your instructor to invest in your future and instill confidence in you by saying, you know, when you pass your written, when you get your license, when you do this. I think that's a really nice mentoring thing, a nice kind of role that is very special to an instructor that they can have. So you want them to be, show that they're knowledgeable, show that they care about the regulations, and show that they care about you.
I agree. I think in that same vein too, having an instructor, particularly one that you've been with long enough, who you've flown 80 plus hours with or whatever it comes down to, having them recognize that you can be exposed to maybe more crosswind or maybe some actual IFR as opposed, which is an instrument flying, as opposed to just doing strictly VFR, clear day, no clouds kind of stuff. Or like in my case, seeing how I would react if they push in the left rudder on a power on stall,
Oh my God, no,
which
no,
started a, you know, we
nope.
incipient spin. The ACS, obviously, there is a guideline. It's the Airman Certification Standards for your private pilot certificate. And those are what the things that you need to know and do. But also acknowledging that, like, sometimes there is a wait for your check ride. So you have this time where you have to fly, you know, working on advancing your minimum so that you are still a safe pilot. But you can go out in different kinds of weather in different circumstances. And you are confident in your abilities to stop yourself from spinning the airplane. So I think that's important too.
I think that's a really good point. We've talked a lot about this, and we've touched on a little bit how, as a woman too, maybe the way that you would choose your flight instructor might change a little bit. Do you guys have anything that you would like to add before we close out this episode when it comes to choosing the right person in the right seat?
Yes. If it is not a good fit, it is okay to change. You do not need to feel guilty. You do not need to feel sad. You do not need to worry because if the instructor is a professional, it's fine. It happens. Sometimes your personalities don't mesh. Sometimes the teaching and learning styles don't mesh. Sometimes they like Pipers and you like Cessnas and they don't, whatever. It doesn't, it, you, they wear too much blue. It doesn't matter why you want to switch. You can switch. And if they are professional and any decent kind of CFI, they are not going to be offended. It's not going to be awkward if you see them when you're walking around the flight school. It maybe their availability is different. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. Switch. It is okay.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think I want to add one more thing
Okay.
when it comes to your instructor is that you want an instructor who's flexible and adaptable when it comes to your learning style.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes.
I experienced that. I've worked primarily with one instructor and another one who took me kind of under his wing as well, who always listens to the podcast. Thank you so much. I want to give him a shout out. Thanks, Ben.
Yes.
Having no aviation background and just the way that my brain works, I think very differently from the instructors that I've worked with. And they have tried so hard to get me to understand a concept and to get me to remember things. And
Yeah.
they have absolutely gone above and beyond. It is not necessarily in their job description to spend as much time with me on ground lessons or to draw things out or to think of things a different way. They don't have to do that. They could just say, well, this is how we teach it, so you need to just study more at home. They've answered my questions off hours. I remember I was doing cross-country planning. One of them, my primary instructor, was worked with me at length on how to do it. And then in the middle of it was like midnight and I was almost in tears.
Spiraling.
I was spiraling. And the second one, he sent me a message on social media. I happened to see it and I said, you know, something about not being able to respond. I'm trying to do my cross country. And he was like, well, what are you having trouble with? He took like half an hour to help me and sent me voice messages and stuff like that sticks with you. And you get a feeling that they're really rooting for you to succeed. They're not babying you. They just want to help. And that flexibility, I don't even know if that is the right word. It just really, oh, makes a
Yeah,
gem of an instructor.
that is a good one.
So hopefully we'll have all of them that we've talked about, all the good ones on our podcast. Maybe we could
Yeah.
do a little interviewing. Maybe, when they're at their airlines or wherever they are, they'll be able to come back and talk to our listeners. But if we have any instructors out there who want to write in about anything that we've said, any students or any non-aviators or not yet aviators, if you guys want to reach out to us and respond to anything that we've said today or ask a question, you can feel free to reach us at podchat@agirlseyeview.com. You can follow us on social media at A Girl's Eye View Podcast on Instagram. We have our Facebook page coming up soon, and we also have our website, agirlseyeview.com. So until we hear from you next time, we hope that you enjoy listening to A Girl's Eye View. As a reminder, the views and opinions shared during this podcast are those of the hosts alone. We do not represent the views of the FAA, our flight schools, or our employers. This podcast is purely for entertainment. We're not qualified flight instructors. We are just here to share our experiences.